honesty, hard work, and being smart. I think to me, those are the core values. Just good old fashioned common sense. I think there's so much in the world today that is not common sense. It's just nuts. And we have to kind of call it out for what it is.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What is going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast, and I'm so happy to have Greg Mercer. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
Hey, doing good. Good to be with you. I'm excited.
Yeah, looking forward to chat with you about Busy Kid. You're one of the co-founders, and I think this is a great app for families, and I can't wait to talk to you about it and have the idea that parents listening to this should actually download the app and use your service. But of course, I love bringing good guys like yourself to talk about fatherhood. You have six kids. You just told me you became a granddad. So a lot of cool things that you're doing, man. So first of all, thanks for taking the time with me. Appreciate that. But take me back. When you found out you're going to be a dad for the first time, what was going through your mind, sir?
I don't know what was going through my mind. It was so long ago, I can't even remember it. But you know, I think it was more mainly excitement. I thought, you know, this is what I've always wanted to do. And here it is. Boom. Right. And I think it's an excitement with a twist of holy smokes, like I got to get serious in life. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's really how it started for me. And we had them fast and furious. We had six in less than 10 years. So it was nuts. Okay. It was complete pandemonium for a long time.
You went to the zone within your favorite, you and your wife's favorite, then to man to man. And all of a sudden you just went like, we got to cover how many kids, right?
Yeah, it was just a total free for all at that point. You know, it was crazy.
Reading up on you and also chatting before we started this interview, I found out that you took an awesome trip around the country. And even better than that, you went around to different charities that you guys appreciate and help out and just went in different states and asked for people for help. Paying it forward is huge, and showing, you know, your fan, you know, especially your kids, like be there for other people. So that is one heck of a core value that you want, that I think parents should instill to their kids, like help others, be kind, be positive. You know, we see that on bumper stickers, but you actually are not only talking the talk, but walking the walk. I love that. So besides paying it forward and being kind, what were some of the other core values you were looking to instill into them?
We were walking the walk and driving the drive. Okay. We 10,000 miles we drove, and it was awesome. And honestly, it's probably the most impactful thing that we've done for our kids. It was kind of, you know, like kind of a big deal, but, and you don't have to do anything real big for your kids, but it was very impactful. I think core values of hard work. I believe in it. I think it's one of the most fundamental things that kids need to learn these days. I think we need to be honest. Okay. Honesty, hard work, and being smart. I think to me, those are the core values. Just good old fashioned common sense. I think there's so much in the world today that is not common sense. It's just nuts. And we have to kind of call it out for what it is and hold true to what we actually know to be, you know, normal and right. And like, let's not get this complicated, because life is not terribly complicated if you boil it down to the basics. And so, you know, those are the kind of things, and you can just fundamentally, you can preach it all you want to your kids, but I think the best thing to do is just try to be that yourself, and, you know, let them pick it up by just seeing you.
Yeah. Kids are sponges. And like, when you think they're total listening, sponges. They might not be listening, but when you think they're not listening, oh, they're checking you guys out, your conversations and all that. So
yes. And you know what I always say is the kids are the best, like, hypocrisy, like censors ever. Like if you think you could, you know, do what I say, not what I do. You're fooling yourself. Pick that up like nobody's business, and then you're in trouble.
100%. No, and they're cool to call you out on it, because, like, just a small example.
Totally.
We started just being like, we got in a routine and a rut of just like having dessert after every meal, like, you know, for not every meal, but for dinner. And like,
sounds
okay,
fun. I like,
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
That's,
but then we're like,
idea.
It's probably not the best thing. So just the weekends. But I remember I was cooking something for my family, and I opened up, like, I had an Oreo or a cookie, and it was like on a Monday. My daughter comes in, she goes, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, yeah. Seriously, busting your chops, right? Hey, I thought that wasn't the deal.
Yeah.
I love it.
Of course, you know, we're always trying to be the ones teaching them lessons about ourselves or life, or just trying to make sure we're getting them on the right path. But for you, let's kind of flip the script. What is something that your kids have taught you about life or about yourself in general that you wouldn't mind sharing with me and my audience?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, fatherhood kind of makes you realize that you can't take everything super serious. You got to kind of roll with the punches, because that's really what a lot of life is. And I think that our kids have taught that to me. You can't get too bent out of shape about every little thing. You got to be pretty kind of even and roll with the punches. And that really goes a long ways, because nobody's perfect. Everybody's making mistakes and, you know, just kind of messing up. And you got to be okay with that. And I hope our kids have been okay with me doing the same thing, right? I don't know what I'm doing. This is the first time I've done it, kind of thing. And so as you go along, you get a little better at it. But at the beginning, you don't know what you're doing. And so you kind of fumble around. And I think that's what our kids have taught me, is we all have to just be a little bit more forgiving and a little bit okay to roll with the punches when they happen.
Well said. And I think that could be used for my last question before we get into Busy Kid. What is one big piece of advice you'd offer to new dads listening to this?
I would say be patient and chip in. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of dads are a little bit checked out when it comes to the kids. You know, they come home from work, they're pooped, and they just, you know, do nothing or whatever. Like, that's not a good thing. Like, that's a recipe for disaster with your marriage, with your kids, the whole thing. You got to be involved, right? Get the diapers, do the thing, you know, do that stuff. Help. I remember I was like the bathtub guy, you know, every night it was like, all right, people, it's time. we're shutting this down for the day. Like, get in the bathtub, you know? And like, I was that guy. So your wife's pooped by that time.
Yeah.
And she needs a little backup, right? So that to me is really important. Like, you gotta like help carry some weight, because there's a lot of it to carry. So be involved, you know?
Make well it happen. Said. Yeah, well said. And I love the fact that like bath time was a routine. I think kids, especially when they're babies and toddlers, thrive on routine. And it was always totally. Like, all right, let's do the bath, and then let's have a quick little dance powder, tire them out, and then they'll go to bed. And the fact that you're like, I'm all in, I'm going to get, you know, my hands wet by helping them with a bath, I think that's great. So I appreciate that, and that's a great, great piece of advice.
I don't know about the dance party. Okay, I don't dance, okay? I'm terrible. I none of that. I got no jive when it comes to dancing. So I'm glad you could do that. I couldn't do that.
Thanks for sharing that. And again, I'm really honored to team up with you guys for Busy Kid. Just a quick little story about, like, for me and just the value of allowance and managing money and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I was a kid. I'm a sneakerhead growing up in the 80s and 90s, big, like, Michael Jordan, Bo Jackson fan. And my parents were like, we're only spending this amount of money on sneakers. You grow, you're a weed. We're not spending all that money. And back then, they weren't even that expensive as they are now, right?
Yeah, but, yeah.
You want to do chores, so mowing lawns, washing cars, and all this other stuff. I raised enough money, right? And instead of just, like, maybe getting allowance here and there for cleaning the cat litter or whatever the case may be, I'd buy like football cards, like those Panini stickers you have for those football albums. So I didn't really care too much about money until I had a focus, right? And what I love about this, once I bought those shoes or half bought those shoes, I treated those things like gold. I put them back in the box. And so I'm going with this is, when I was a kid between like fifth and sixth grade, was that summer when I was doing all that stuff to get those shoes, I found a value in money. I found a value in work. I found a value that, like, my parents are not going to give me everything, and I got to learn how to work on my own, and if I want to achieve things I want to get, right? And nowadays, I think each generation parents like, oh yeah, like, I remember I wanted this as a kid. I'll just get it for my kid, right? Mm-hmm. But Busy Kid not only teaches kids great stuff and values, but it also teaches parents a lot of great things. And it's not just this one thing about like raising allowance or raising awareness on allowance. You guys have so many cool features and so many cool things around this Busy Kid app. So talk about first the inspiration to start this up and some of the cool features that you like about it.
Like, so you nailed it, okay? Your parents decided to switch they turned the table on you with what I call OPM, other people's money, okay? OPM is fun to spend. It's like, woohoo, I'm going to buy the newest Nike Freeze or whatever they are, you know, tennis shoes. I'm going to go do whatever I want, right? Because I'm spending OPM. When you change that and you actually now have to spend your own money, and that your own money came from working, it's all different, right? And you're exactly right. You treat your stuff as gold, right? I remember one of my boys bought a scooter. I had bought him scooters before, and you know where they are at night? They're on the driveway or in the grass with the sprinklers going on. And I'm like, wait, I thought those have like ball bearings in them, and they're trash. The minute he buys his own, it's hung up in the garage, right? It's no longer in the driveway, which I run over it in the car as I'm backing out, okay? It's all different. And so I think that's fundamentally why Busy Kid even started for me. It's like, wait, I gotta change this. I gotta change it from OPM to your own. And when you do that, all the lessons start, right? And they get responsible really actually pretty quick.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Usually that's such a dad thing where like you're hitting the scooters, because I see like in all lawns, not just my yards or my driveway, I just see them littered there, and it's like a scooter graveyard. So
it's true, it's terrible. I've run over more stuff than I want to in the driveway, but when it's their own, not in the driveway. So and it's like, wait, it might get stolen or it might get run over or whatever, right? They're smart.
Yeah, and there's a lot of benefits, like I said, to Busy Kid. And of course, we'll put links on where people can go to the website. It's busykid.com. But now more than ever, you are seeing kids with technology learn how to do stuff, learn more about things that they want to learn about investing. And I got my first credit card in college, and I was scared to kind of, I was like, I got my checking account back in high school because my parents like, you should get a checking account and all other stuff. Writing a check, I think I was like nervous writing the first one, whatever the case may be. But the first credit card was in college. Nervous to use that. Didn't know what, like, I didn't read the fine print about the financing. And like, if you didn't pay it right off the bat, right? You learn. But I think one of the things is with Busy Kid, you learn about investing, you learn about savings, you learn about the idea of how you can work for goals and all that other stuff. So for you, there's a lot of benefits, but what are some benefits you'd like to key on to tell my audience, especially moms and dads, listen to this?
I think the bottom line is you have to teach your kids fundamentally a balanced financial approach, okay? Not just what I call an earn and burn approach, right? We all have done that before. Like you earn it and you burn it as fast as possible. The old, I got $5 in my pocket, it's burning a hole, right? Earn and burn doesn't work long-term. We have to change that. And what we have to change it to is a balanced financial approach. So we've set this up in Busy Kids so you don't have to worry about it. Literally, your kid earns 25 bucks. We automatically split it up, okay? Or allocate the money. We put some in saving where they can buy fractional shares of stock, which is super cool. It's teaching kids how to invest early in life. In the share area, we're teaching them philanthropy, which we've touched on, right? It's giving back. It's giving to charity that they care about. And then lastly, some of the money goes in spend where they can go put it on their own card and spend their own money, not OPM. So that's fundamentally what Busy Kid does. And it does it automatically, like, boom, earn money, save, share, spend, earn money, save, share, spend. Like, that's what you want them to learn. You don't want them to learn like, I got $20, I'm going to burn $20, because then they'll be living with you till they're 30 years old in your basement. And who wants that, right? I don't want that. Who wants that? That's terrible. So this is fundamentally what Busy Kid is all about. Get them busy doing stuff that's actually going to help them in their own life and make them smarter about money.
Greg, you are dropping a lot of knowledge, not just on fatherhood, but Busy Kid. But I think no matter where this interview goes, before we end this and all this stuff, the number one thing you said right there, I think, is that they're going to stick with parents.
Stay in your basement, baby. Yeah. They're going to be a drag on your retirement, okay? You're not going to be able to save money because they're eating your food, they're using your electricity, they're using your water. I'm telling you, you've got to get them out of the basement. That's the main thing.
I think that's going to be one of the biggest things. Like, okay, I'm going to use Busy Kid just for that moment, like just for that reason. Yeah. But like, earn and burn is so true. Like we did, like, so our kids were getting like maybe $5, whatever the case may be. And they get three and then two all of a sudden goes in their savings account right away. So and it's great too. Boom. Because
good job, dad.
Thanks. And no, but like it's great because they would buy stuff that when I was their age, I'd buy too. Like, oh yeah, let me buy this small little action figure or this or that. But then they realized when we said like, we're going to go on like to Disney, they were like, oh, well, can I get this? I'm like, well, you're saving
those funnel cakes are expensive. So you better start saving your money.
So we're all Star Wars geeks. And they wanted to go to, like, you know, Galaxy's Edge and get like the replica lightsabers that are kind of expensive. And so
they just
started saving money, and it was like, all right. And they're like, well, yeah, I don't want to use my money, and I'm good for right now. I'm actually saving this for whatever. I was like, sweet. So yeah, I think the idea of what you guys are doing and creating that, like, getting away from earn and burn, that's such an awesome tagline right there, is great.
And you know what, as you flip the table on them, and it's kind of, you're empowering them, honestly, you're empowering them to make decisions that are actually smarter than they would make otherwise. Right?
No doubt.
Because kids are naturally inclined to blow it, right? They're naturally inclined to go to the dollar store and go hog wild or whatever, right? That's just how they are. And that's okay. That's what kids, you know, but that's why we're here to teach them, right? And so if, as you turn the table, you're actually empowering them and making that just really a good experience for them, even if it's a bad experience. Yeah. So they go and buy that piece of junk at Walmart that they thought they could live without, right? And then all of a sudden it's broken in 2 days. Like, that's actually a good lesson to learn.
Yeah.
Early in life. Like, oh shoot, I'm not doing that again. Right.
Yeah.
That's great. Even a bad lesson is a good lesson.
No doubt. And speaking of lessons, I think one of the class I had in high school was accounting. And did it talk about finances? Did it talk about savings? Maybe not as much, but it was just mostly the idea of balancing a checkbook or learning, like, you know, if you're going to be running your own business, like, these are the things. Like, one of my good friends from high school, we're still friends, and we chat. We always, like, do debit credit. We're always, like, making these, like, accounting jokes because we took the class together. But I feel we're kind of getting away from, like, and I'm so glad you said this before about common sense. Using common sense, I think, unfortunately, we're not doing a lot of using that common sense, or even street smarts, whatever the case may be. But do you feel like schools could be doing a better job of maybe educating kids about finances and investing and all that?
Yeah, so here's the deal with schools. Okay, I've long held this opinion. And I feel like when it comes to schools and parents, there's a blame game happening. Okay, they're like this. Their parents are like, what the heck, the school, they're 8 hours a day. Why aren't they teaching them about the stuff they're going to use every day in their lives? They're teaching them French, but they don't even know, like, how to do personal finance at all. And they're going to be making financial decisions every day. Okay, so that's the parents' mindset. The school's mindset is, what the heck, why don't you teach them? You're the actual parent here. And, you know, and here's the thing, the kid's in the middle, and they're the loser because they're not learning this stuff, period, right? I think fundamentally, no matter what schools try to do, they're not going to quite be able to get there. And this is why they're not the source of the money, okay? Mm-hmm. Parents are the source of the money. Your school teacher is never going to give you $20. Sorry to break it to you. They're not going to do that. Okay. They're not made of money anyways. And they're just not going to be, like, handing it out in class. It's not going to work. Right.
Yeah.
Parents are always the source of the money, and the source of the money needs to be the teacher. If you realize that as a parent and, like, grasp onto that and say, all right, I'm not going to, like, keep cussing the school just because they're not doing it, but I'm going to take control of this, you're going to make great strides. And you don't have to be, like, an expert. Like, truly, technology is our friend here, right? For so many of us as parents, technology is like the enemy. Like, oh, their kids are just, like, scrolling their lives away, and you want to strangle them because they're on it too much, right? But let's use technology to actually teach them the stuff they're not going to learn in school. And it's going to give them that street smart to where they're actually going to make some good decisions. Move out of your basement, right? Back to the basement. It's really, this is it, full circle, baby. And literally, parents have to realize that they're the source of the money, and they're got to be the teacher.
Greg, thank you for taking me to school, because sometimes, you know, we don't see the forest through the trees, and you just opened it up. And I'm like, oh, that's a spot on answer right there. Because we always feel like, yeah, they should be learning this at school. But, like, yeah, we're, you know, my wife and I are teaching them about certain things about the finances. But like you said, teachers aren't going to give them money. We're the ones giving them money. That we're the ones that they see, like, in the day-to-day interaction of, like, going to the grocery store, all that stuff. So,
yeah. And I mean, do I think they should teach personal finance in school? Yeah, you bet. It would be better, like, a team, you know, they learn it at school, the practical applications at home. You know what I mean? Like, that would be the perfect scenario. But I think if we want to just wait and say, we'll just wait till the school's, like, pulling more of this load, like, what, you will be waiting a long time, probably, right?
No doubt.
It's just not worth it.
Appreciate that. Two more questions before we finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. And every family does things differently. Every parent knows what their child can do and not do, and what feels comfortable for each family. So I'm not looking for, this is the answer. Greg said this is the answer. This is the age. But At what age do you kind of feel, especially, you know, with Busy Kid, there is ways that kids can learn how to invest. What age do you think kids, have you seen in your experience, obviously in this space, do you think kids in average age that they can grasp the idea of investing? And again, parents should be there. They're not going to be like, yeah, read the Wall Street Journal and go ahead, have fun. But like, what are some ways that you think kids, at what age do you think kids can comprehend that?
Yeah, so I think you nailed it, which is every kid is a little different, right? Some of them naturally just boom, they get to this stuff really quick. I think I'm on the younger side of this, but I think 6, 7, 8 years old, I think they could really start learning stuff. I believe fundamentally kids learn best by doing stuff. Okay, they can watch videos, they can read books, they can like, and all that's good. I'm not like saying it's not. But fundamentally, if they do it, they're going to learn. I'll give you a quick example. If every time you're in the car and you're driving along and your kid's pointing out a Tesla, like, oh, look at that red Tesla, look at that white Tesla, right? Like my boys do, let them invest in Tesla. And then all of a sudden, it's not just the cool car that's driving by that's quiet and electric, but it's actually an investment that they made. They own a little piece of that and they're paying attention. And even more, what makes them pay attention even more is they use their own money to put it, you know, into that company. Like, that's such a great way to let them learn, is let them do stuff. Same thing with charities, let them donate. Same thing with money on their card, let them slide the card and like know what it is and like how it works. And oh my goodness, I just slid my card and now all of a sudden it said 20 and now it says I got 15. Like, that's how money works now. And the entire nature of money has changed so much. It's not like we reach into our pocket and pull out a wad of cash, right?
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore. So they have to understand that those little numbers on your phone that's actually money. And when you slide it, it goes down. Like, this is the kind of thing that you can learn, and they can learn it very early in life. They're very smart.
No doubt. And the idea of like actually having an interaction at a store, when my kids do use their allowance, it's like, all right, you're paying for this. Since you're paying for it, you go and do it. And the first few times they were kind of nervous. Now, this is great too. They're like, they're looking for the ones, like the stores that have the self-checkout. Can we go to the ones with the self-checkout so I can go at my own pace?
I don't want to be embarrassed. Yeah.
I was like, that's cool. I mean, because heck, again, moving with technology, we're going to have probably more self-checkouts than actual, you know, registers with cashiers. And man, like, your kids are like my kids that point out the cool looking cars at Teslas. When you said that, my youngest like,
did
you see that car right there? I want that car when I get older.
Yeah. Look at that Raptor truck, you know, or that Ford Raptor. Yeah, you know, that's just, so let them do that. If your kid is like totally stoked on the newest Disney Marvel movie or whatever, like, all right, let them invest in Disney. Like, that's a great investment to look at and check it out. I can ask my boys right now, what's Ford trading at? What's Disney trading at? What Tesla's trading at? They'll know. It's crazy. It's because they own it. Yeah. If they didn't own it, they wouldn't know.
Yeah. And lastly, what are something that, you know, you and your family are doing, obviously with Busy Kid and all that good stuff, but what is a piece of advice that you kind of give them in regards to chores and setting up certain things, or just awareness that you guys use that you'd like to share with us?
So I would say to parents, like, so many parents freak out about this subject. They're just like, they go boom, right to overwhelmed, right? And you don't have to be overwhelmed by this. You just have to be, what I say, fairly consistent, okay? If you're fairly consistent, you don't have to be perfect with this. If you guys go to like Disney or you go on a trip for spring break and everything goes to pot, that's fine. That's actually life, right? What you need to do is just be fairly consistent. So when you get back from the holiday break or you get back from spring break or whatever, like, get back on the horse, start the routine again, make them start earning their own money, you know, and boom, balanced financial approach over and over and over. They'll be fine and they'll figure it out. And they'll be like, I wasn't perfect at this. My kids, all of them that have left the nest have left with over 10 grand. Okay. And that's not all coming from me, but they learn it early in life, and then they go get a real job and they bust it out and they don't blow it all. They'll earn and burn, but they're saving it and they're investing it. And like it doesn't take a lot. If I could do it, golly, anybody can do it. Come
thank
on.
You, thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate it. Now we're going to finish off with the Father Quick Five. I think I might know where this
Fatherhood Quick Five. I'm getting nervous.
You'll be good.
Oh boy.
I think especially what you said with one of the companies, Marvel and all that other stuff, this could be the answer. But favorite movie right now you guys like to watch as a family, what is it?
Well, I'll tell you, it's actually called College Road Trip. Okay, it's probably an old one, but it's about a kid moving away to college, and her dad freaks out because he can't let her go. It's actually hilarious. We love it, and we can all quote it.
Awesome. That's a sign of a good family movie when you just like look at your child, your wife, your spouse, and you quote quote a line, and they'll quote some right back. Nice.
Yeah, it's bad. We can't stop. It's actually annoying.
Favorite family song right now? I said, I know you're not a dancer, so is there an artist or a band you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
Oh gosh, no. I guess I like you know, some of the Beatles old stuff. I'm just old. What can I say? I'm a grandpa. I like that Beatles stuff. So, but I don't dance. Oh gosh, I don't dance. I've only danced once with my wife, and it wasn't pretty.
I think I might know the answer to this one as well. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be, or did you already have it?
Okay, well, we did have an amazing trip across the whole country, but I would say the perfect vacay for us right now is go to the beach. It's just doing the beach and doing nothing. Everybody loves it, and we try to go to California, you know, once in a while, go to the beach. So nice. I'd say that.
All right, I mentioned my SC trainers, my Bo Jackson sneakers back in the day. Was there something for you that you were saving up for as a kid that you had to, like, you know, pull your own weight to get, not, you know, use other people's money?
I always saved for a car. I wanted to drive. I probably put like 1,000 miles on my mom's minivan up and down the driveway before I was 16. Like, I just always wanted to drive. So I saved my money and saved my money. And then I bought, with my grandpa's help, actually, a 1976 Honda Civic, total piece of junk. Like, oh my goodness. It was yellow. Yeah, we painted it. We got a $99 paint job on it. And then I had to paint the door jams inside with spray paint because I was too cheap. So yeah, that was it, man. And we put a lot, I put 200 miles on it the first day I got my license. Oh, wow. Just running around doing stuff. I was so excited.
Love it. Thanks very much for sharing that. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad. What would they be?
Oh, gee. Okay. I'm going to say loving. I'm going to say steady. And I'm going to say fun.
Nice. Great three words right there. People, make sure you go to busykid.com to learn more about how you and your kids can learn how to manage money correctly. Like you said, you'll get them out of the house. They won't be staying with you, like Greg
That's
said.
That's the goal. That's the goal, people.
And they'll learn good financial practices. Again, thank you very much for teaming up with me here at Art of Fatherhood. I wish you and your family, and of course your company, continued success, sir.
Yeah, thanks so much. It was fun.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.